Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, I when we were coming to the topics of the conference, I chose a little bit later than some of the brothers. And I saw this topic was one of the only ones left. And I initially was very inwardly concerned. Maybe there's something else to share on. Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. But let's read it in Revelation chapter 14, verse 5, right? This verse again. If I'm speaking too fast, someone wave at me. So I want to make sure the translators can hear. Yeah, it's my habit. Revelation chapter 14, verse 5, right? And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Amen. Right. Yeah. Brother Sam shared this morning, right? That in their mouth was found no deceit. Right. And in this morning, in the second part, we want to share, right? For they are without fault before the throne of God. Right. Yeah. Yeah, as I said, when I saw this was the open topic, I was very before the Lord, very nervous, thinking, you know, wow, this is something very difficult, right? How can I say, right, that today I'm already without fault before the throne of God, right? It's a very high calling, right? And as I read these verses and I considered before the Lord, I realized that actually my attitude was very poor, right? Without fault before the throne of God means the Lord has made this opportunity that we can actually make it, right? He has actually enabled us to be those who can be without fault before the throne of God, right? And so as I listened to some of the other brothers share about the different portions in Revelation, and I started to consider this word, actually the Lord gave me a lot of confidence to speak regarding this matter, right? That we need to be those who are without fault before the throne of God, right? Let's read in some verses, right? First of all, we have to see, right, that the standard for the Lord is very high, right? When it says without fault before the throne of God, it means without fault before the throne of God, right? Yeah, it's clear. God's standard is much higher than our standard, right? And so if we read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, right? A few years ago, I read this verse anew after many years, and it really stuck out to me, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy, right? Right. He who called us is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Right. Be holy, for I am holy. Right. So the Lord's expectation and his desire is not only that we would be pretty good, right, but it is holy, for I am holy. Right. Lord has that standard. Right. We don't have to turn to this, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, furthermore says, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. Right? Right. God's standard is much higher than our standard. Right? Yeah. Well, let's also turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Yeah. Yeah. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Yeah. Perfecting holiness, right? Yeah. Yeah. The hymn we were just singing, right? Holy, 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 right? It speaks from Revelation, right? Holy, 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 right? And when we see our God on the throne, right, we have to realize how holy he is, right? And if we are those first fruits who are sitting there before the throne, right, at that time, right, we also should be like that, faultless, right, holy, perfect. And so that is the standard of God, right? And as the word commands us, then we should be those who are constantly cleansing ourselves from all these things that are in this world, right? We can't be so satisfied, right? We can't make ourselves a lot of checklists in our head and say, well, at least I prayed today. At least I made it to the meeting, right? Oh, this time I'm extra good because I made it to the meeting on time, right? Or, you know, I prayed for every meal, or I read the Bible once this morning, right? It's good. It's good enough, right? But we constantly, especially before the Lord, have to constantly look to him and desire to be more and more holy, right? Faultless, more and more perfect, right? Yeah, that's his standard, right? Not the standard that is, you know, judged by this world, right? You know, I'm an engineer, right? Engineers, we actually don't like things to be spec'd perfect, right? It's sort of like if you see this table, right? And maybe it's about, you know, 30 inches off the ground or 28 inches or something, right? You know, somebody who designed this would say, well, I want it 28 inches, but plus minus, you know, quarter of an inch is fine, right? It's about right, right? If it's a little bit higher by a quarter inch, it's fine. If it's lower by a quarter inch, it's all good, right? No problem, right? The reason they do that is because they want to be able to make a lot of them, right? So if you're going to make hundreds of thousands or millions of these tables, right, you want to make sure you leave yourself a lot of room for error and a lot of room for slop so you can have a lot of them, right? Because you want to sell a lot of them, right? Now, I realize in the word about this matter of the first fruits, right, the Lord is not looking for so much slop, right? He desires for everyone to be a first fruit, but he wants perfection, right? He doesn't want just a large number of imperfect products, right? But he wants us to be those who are first fruits, those who really not only believe that the Lord has come for us and saved us, but that we have the desire to be faultless. We have the desire to be perfect. Right. As was shared earlier in the conference, right, there are so many Christians in this world. Right. And that number 144,000, right, whether precise or figurative, it's not many, right? That's the point, right? It's because there are not that many that want to be right on the target. Most people will be happy just being pretty good, right? So, okay, right? Yeah. So we today, right, before the Lord, if we want to be those who are first fruits, the Lord really needs to show us that the standard that the Lord has for us is much higher than our worldly thinking, right? Right. Oftentimes, as Christians, we like to talk about grace, right? Lord has an amazing grace he's given to us. He's so generous. He's allowed us to come to him, even in our sinful nature, right? And our thinking errantly, right, in error is that we think, well, it's just so much grace, we don't have to change, we can just come as we are, right? But the Lord is holy, right? And he desires that we would be holy as he is holy, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, right? Let's read that together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Yeah. Yeah. So you can see this grace here again, right? But this grace is not just so that we would be able to live our life however we want to, right? But he saved us and called us with the holy calling, right? That's his grace, right? That's his grace and his purpose, right? Not that we would just have grace to be, you know, saved to do whatever we want, but he saved us by his grace and his purpose to give us this holy calling, right? To come to him and to be perfected, right? That we would make it, Right. Yeah. So the standard, right, that the Lord has for us is very, very high. Right. But praise the Lord, right? He is able and he's willing to complete this in us, right? Yeah. As I sat considering this word this morning about being without fault before the throne, right? I was very worried, right? But when I read these verses and when I considered before the Lord, I'm very actually thankful that the Lord is willing to do it in us, right? It's not a matter of our own personal strength, right? Not a matter of our own private resolve, but it's because the Lord desires to complete it in us, right? It's his good pleasure, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, right? Let's turn to that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right. Jesus, right, who went through all these different trials, endured the cross, despised the shame, and today now he is in command position, right? He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, right? Today, this Jesus, as it says here, is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? It means the Lord will definitely complete the good work which he started in us, right? I start many things without finishing them, right? The willpower is not so strong sometimes. Well, this is a great project. I'll do it. And then 6 months later, box of tools and box of parts all together, right? Still no progress, right? But the Lord, once he has started something, he will certainly finish it all the way, right? He's not interested in leaving the job incomplete, right? But his desire and his purpose is to finish our faith, right? To make us first fruits, right? To make us those who are without fault, right? In John chapter 15, we don't have to turn to all these verses, but John chapter 15, 1-8, it talks about how he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit, right? The Lord here in this parable, he's talking of the source of our life is Christ, right? He is this true vine. He is the one that is able to fill us and to show us what way and where to go and what to do, right? To fill us with his life. The source of life is this vine, right? And as we are those branches today, right? If we are bearing fruit, he'll prune us. He'll make it so that we can bear more, right? He'll take care of us. He'll show us, right? Where we are errant, where we need work, he'll prune off so that we can grow more, right? I'm actually one of the worst gardeners, right? I'm terrible at growing plants. But recently, because we redid our front yard, I had to put in a bunch of plants. And so for the first time, I started to care if the plants live, right? Because before, if they live or die, I didn't think anything of it. But because it was my own work, right, by my own hands, right, putting it in, I started to look at them and think, oh well, on that plant, right, the flowers all died, or some of the flowers have died, so I should prune those away so that the leaves underneath can get more light and grow, you know, make the plant grow bigger, right? So I started to care about it, and I noticed as I pulled away some of the dead hydrangeas, right, afterwards, you know, within a week or so, you can see new life sprouting forth, right? And actually even bearing more flowers and more flowers, right? And today, that's what the Lord is trying to do with us, right? There's a lot of pruning that the Lord has to clean up in us, right? A lot of rough edges, a lot of dead branches, a lot of waste that is just taking up nutrition, taking up our life, and not having any sort of fruit, right? And so the Lord is very much willing and desires to work on us, right? He's the vine dresser, right? He's shaping, he's looking out where there's no more life and trying to cut it away so that we would have more life, Right. So the Lord is very willing to work on us. Yeah. Yeah. If we also read them together, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 to 18, right? First John chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. This is quite an amazing verse, right? Yeah. The Lord really has such a love for us, right? Not that he would only save us from initial salvation, but that we would have boldness in the day of judgment, right? This is what he loves to do, right? He's willing, and he loves us so much that he's willing to make sure that when we are before him in that day, we would be perfected, right? This is how he's able, willing to perfect his love in us, right? When I was many years ago reading this verse, I used to think, well, this verse is just saying that he loves us so much that we won't be afraid when we see him, right? But it's talking about this perfecting work, right? The only way we would have boldness before his throne, right, is that the Lord has perfected us so that when we come to him, we're not afraid, right? Because we have been perfected, right? We are without fault, right? And so this is really the desire of the Lord, right? That we would have boldness on this day, right? So praise the Lord, right? He wants to complete this work in us. Yeah. So if he is willing, then, you know, what is our response, right? What are we required to do? Really, it's a matter of our heart, right? It's a matter of our faith, right? If we don't desire to be perfected, the Lord can't force you, right? If you don't want to be perfected, you don't want to do something, then you don't have to, right? It's up to you, right? But if we read through the word, it's clear, right, that there is those who desire to be perfected and those who don't, right? And if we desire to be perfected, then we have to really seek him out with it, with him, right? So if we read James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, right? James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Yeah, these are all very active things, right? Submitting to God, resisting the devil, drawing near to God, cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts, right? You know, there are so many things to consider here, right? So many things that Lord is really calling us to action, right? In a sense. We can't just sit there and wait to be cleansed, but it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, right? Purify your hearts, resist him, right? Resist the devil, right? Not just to be satisfied with all the heat or the attacks from the enemy in this world, but to resist it, right? We have a very active enemy, right? There's a very active devil, right? There is a very active people following the father of lies, right? And so if we don't desire to resist, if we don't desire to submit to God, right? then we're already losing. We're sitting ducks, as was said, right? Yeah. The enemy is fighting and we're sitting there waiting to be hit, right? So we have to have this desire, right? Right. If we have the desire, the Lord can really do this in us. If we don't want to fight, then the Lord can't force us. Yeah. We also need to be well tested and proven in this world, right? Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. As was stated, right? Many trials in this world, right? If we want to be those who are faultless before the throne, we need to go through these things to grow more and more, right? Right? Every time we go through a trial, when we overcome it with the Lord, right, it becomes another way to be faultless, right? Because when something similar comes around, right, you won't have the same fault or struggle, right? It seems so easy, right? You know? I was thinking when I was a kid, actually, there is this one time I can remember very distinctly. My brother and my mom was arguing about something and they popped my small balloon, right? It's my small balloon, right? It's this little air balloon, right? And so when they popped it, I was incredibly sad, right? And it really just made me very like filled with tears, right? I can remember it. It was, I don't know, probably five or something. So, but now, if somebody pops my balloon, I'm not going to be upset. It's okay. Right. Right. Just get another one. Right. I don't know why I was so sad, but I was so sad. Right. You know, these last few years, right, there are so many trials that many of the saints went through, right, that we all went through. A lot of difficulties, you know, locking down, right, forcing to be, you know, even some losing their jobs, right? The children having to go through remote learning, not being able to have socially, you know, to talk to anyone, right? All these things that were very difficult, and we've all experienced many trials, right? Hopefully, with all these trials, we've overcome them, right, with the Lord, right? Right? Of course, many times, you know, there have been saints, right, that have been struggling and they give up, right? The trial has overtaken them, right? And yeah, we mourn for that, right? But if the Lord has taught us to overcome in all these situations of these last few years and has taught us to overcome them, right? The next time it happens, right, it'll be just like that balloon popping, right? We'll have already learned from this first round, or we will have already learned from this trial, right? That, you know, the Lord is my help. The Lord is my supply, right? I don't need to rely on the work that I have today, right? That's not something that I need to have my focus on, right? And if I lose it, it's okay, right? But my focus and my hope can be in the Lord, right? So these trials and these hard times, right, they're really for our perfecting, right? Without these trials, right, how will we ever prove if we've really made it to such a perfection, right? We all think, I'm really patient, right? We all think, I'm pretty patient, right? And then we have a baby, right? And there's no baby here right now, but but then we have a baby and the baby is up at 3 a.m. screaming our heads off and we're very tired, right? Then we know whether or not we have patience, right? Right. We are patient until we have two boys that are constantly wrestling and fighting with each other at 5 and 8, right? And we consider, well, are you really patient, right? Right? Constantly, right? Constantly we are being tested in our daily life, right? But how we react and how we overcome it, right, is a matter of our perfection, right? We can always choose to try to muscle through and do it according to our own mind and our own thinking and our own worldly capability, right? We can always turn back to that. But if we do so, we miss out on becoming those who are faultless, right? Yeah. And certainly in these days before the Lord comes back, right, we have to see that the pressure and the testing will continue on and on and on, right? Right. Right. As it says, before the Lord comes back, it will be like the days of Noah or the days of Lot, right? And the world will become a worser and worser place for those who want to remain faithful, right? You know, sometimes you know, we live in the United States. It's a very big country, right? We live in California, which is very liberal, right? And then today we live in the Bay Area, right? Which is even more liberal, right? Like, yeah, it's the most liberal place, right? And, you know, some of the things that we experience around us, right? Even many Christian parents will willingly approve of many really worldly things that are being taught to our children. Or they'll approve of many things that are wrong before the Lord. And they'll say, oh, it's fine. I just want to be more tolerant. Everything is good, right? Speaking of the things of this world, right? And so it's very difficult. It can feel very isolating, right? We're always wondering up north, like, where are those who actually care for God's desire, right? Yeah. If we desire to follow the Lord, right? Before he comes back, it will be more and more like this, right? The days of Noah, the days of Lot, right? And soon it may just be Noah and his family, right? Or just the relatives of Lot, right? There are not that many that desire to really turn, right? And so that's what the Lord is doing with the first fruits today, right? There's a lot of immorality, a lot of unrighteousness, a lot of evil. And the Lord is desiring to save us from it, right? Right. That pressure, that constant attack from around us, right, will perfect us, right? Actually, it should give us some confidence, right? It's getting worse. It means the end is sooner, right? And the Lord desires to make us perfected faster, right? Yeah. Let's just read one last verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, right? Of course, we know this, but I think it's has to be real to us, right? Yeah. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call, God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, we only have one option today, right? We want to be perfected, then we have to continue to press on, right? Not to think we have already attained or we're already perfect, but we want to go further and further, right? Amen. Yeah. As was spoken before, right? Forgetting those things behind is not just the bad things, right? But it's also declaring, I am not going to be satisfied with what I have already gotten, right? I want to know more. I want to be perfected more, right? I want to be more faultless. Right. Yeah. You know, many years ago, I've told this story a few times, so some of you may have heard it, but many years ago when I was younger, I ran the Boston Marathon for fun. Right. I was a college student and thought, oh, I'm just going to do it. right? 26 miles, right? Can you guys guess which are the easiest parts of the race? What's the easiest part of the race? The beginning and the end. The easiest parts of that long, long race are the beginning and the end, right? Yeah. When they shoot the gun and the sound goes off and everybody starts to run, everybody is running faster than they should be running, right? Right? Most people are running faster than they were training, right? Because they were just super excited, right? Very adrenaline, right? And so it's easy to run at the beginning, right? And then after about 15 miles, I just mentally like, oh, can't run anymore, right? So I just started to slow down a lot. So the first 15 miles, I think it was like, you know, like 9 minutes to 10 minutes per mile. And then the next 10 miles were about 15 to 20 minutes per mile, right? Right? It's just terrible, right? But even though, you know, afterwards, my body felt like it could barely move, right? That last mile, when you can actually see the finish line, right? That was the fastest mile I sprinted, right? That was like down to like 7 minutes or so, right? And I was just running as fast as I could, right? Because you could see the end goal and you realize you're almost done, right? That's very motivating, right? Right. We today need to have such a vision, right? If this was many years ago, like 20 years ago, I don't know, maybe I would have considered, it feels like the middle sometimes of the race, right? I can't see the end exactly playing out and it maybe seems kind of far away, right? But as the Lord shows us and as this world turns and the days are becoming more like that of Lot and Noah, right? As you see, right, movement in Israel, right? As you see all these things and these signs that are happening in this world, right? Our motivation and our resolve should be higher, right? Right. If we have a vision, right? If we can see that there's this finish line, right? Right. May the Lord give us such a faith to finish the race, right? Yeah. Yeah. I really admire the saints here when he's writing in Philippians, right? These saints that wrote the word. They were not quite at the finish line we are, yet they were still so burning and desiring to work and to move forward, right? But we today especially, right, as we see the end coming, may the Lord give us, right, a real desire to finish and be of those first fruits. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we do want to finish the race.
Amen.
Thank you for showing us the end line.
Yeah.
The goal. Encourage everyone to run this race and reach the goal.
Amen.
And to gain the prize.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Lord, today we don't want to be sluggish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run the race with endurance.
Amen.
That is set before us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
May we look away unto Jesus.
Yeah.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
I praise you. You are the one who has already reached the goal.
That's right.
And your desire is that we all would reach the goal together with you.
Amen.
Lord, may we really run with endurance. Amen. The race that you have set before us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Lord, we thank you that your return is coming soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is in sight for us today.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, we want to run this last stretch of this race with much endurance.
Amen.
Yeah, more endurance than we've ever had before.
Yeah.
Yeah, really press on and reach this goal.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. We pray that you would continue to strengthen us and that we would be diligent to run this race, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, in Mount Zion, we want to be those who are made perfect.
Amen.
Thank you. We are here in the church of the firstborn.
Yes.
Of the spirit of just men made perfect.
Amen.
Thank you. This is your goal with us.
That's Lord. Right.
Yes, we want to press on.
Amen.
Now with endurance.
Yes.
Yes, we want to be those who are fully sanctified.
Amen.
Coming.
That's
yeah,
right.
Our spirit, soul, and body found blameless.
Yeah.
Yes, standing with you on Mount Zion.
Amen.
Those who are really blameless before the Lamb.
Amen.
Thank you for this word of encouragement.
Yes.
I pray that we will aspire to be those who are really blameless.
Amen.
Sanctified at your coming.
Amen.
Standing with you on Mount Zion.
Amen.
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 Lord, we want to run the race to the end.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Run faster.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. The finish line.
Amen.
Amen. Finish line.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes, Lord, you want to finish strong.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Finish as the first fruit.
Amen.
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 Amen. So let us read also Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even before the foundation of the world. This is in God's mind. Amen.
Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
Chose.
Yes,
holy and without blame,
yeah,
before him in love.
Amen.
Thank you.
This is the reason you chose.
Yeah.
Amen.
Chose to be before you without blame.
Amen.
Yes. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is the emphasis of the apostles of the second coming of the Lord. I should unpack. I'll use this. It takes a few minutes. Yes, a few minutes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You should be impressed that the Lord's purpose, God's plan and purpose, even before the foundation of the world, before everything in this earth came into existence, God already chose us. And the final goal of why he chose us is to make us holy and without blame before him. I don't think many of us have this goal as a Christians in mind. We are happy we're saved. That's good enough. But God's intention is to make us holy and without blame before him and in love. Because if you do not love God, if this love is missing, then it's very difficult to live a life that is holy and without blame. And even in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, when talking about Christ loves the church, he's not just loving any church, but he desires to present the church as a glorious church, holy and without blame, without spot, without wrinkle. Where do you find such a church?
You cannot, because it was not in our mind. We even think, oh, it's not possible. You think it's possible? Then God must be dreaming. If it's not possible, right? But it is written very, very clearly in chapter 1, right? Before the foundation of the world, and then in chapter 5, that his church should be glorious, holy, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, because it's his bride. How can a holy Lord, so holy and glorious, have a bride that is so unholy? You think about it. It doesn't match. Remember, the church, the bride of Christ, must be just like Eve. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But where do you find it? We want to have a mega church. We want to have whatever kind of church you want. But what about a church that is glorious, holy, blameless, without spot, without wrinkle? And this is God's plan. And the Lord is going to do it by the washing of the water in his word. Do you love his word? You think the word is just the doctrine? What about the water in the word? The Lord said, the word that I've spoken to you, they are spirit, they are life. And you have to eat the word. Right? And what about what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians? He talks about the coming of the Lord in chapter 3, I believe, that we will be holy and without blame at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in chapter 5, verse 23, right? The God of peace will sanctify us completely, spirit, soul, and body, that we will be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about Peter? What did he say in 2 Peter chapter 3? Knowing that the Lord is coming. That the Lord is coming. Then what manner of life should we have? Holy and godly. Without blame. And again, we see right here in Revelation chapter 14, this 144,000, actually, compared to so many Christians in this world, this 144,000, in their mouth is found no guile, no lie, and they are blameless before the throne of God. Right? What about at the very end in Revelation chapter 22, the New Jerusalem? What kind of a city is that? Great big city? No, that's Babylon. Babylon is great, but it is the holy city, having the glory of God. A holy city. God is holy. This is right. Wonderful verse that our brother brought up. Be holy. It is a command. It is not just, if you like, try. No, be holy. For I am holy, especially the priesthood. This is a quotation in Leviticus. Be holy. How can a priest be unholy? You cannot even touch the holy things with unholy hands. Otherwise, you will defile the holy things. But we don't have this concept. Oh, you're saved. Oh, your sins are forgiven. And that's it. You go to heaven. What? Where is it written? They all use 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But the rapture is to the heir. And it's the end of the 3.5 years. All the Christians, the remaining ones, will be raptured to the air and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But the 144,000, they were taken up, raptured before the great day of God's wrath, and they're standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion before the throne of God. There's a difference in time, and there's a difference in place. You're right. Don't believe all the what people are saying. You come to the Word of God yourself. We all need to learn and to make ourselves ready by the grace of God. And you think, oh, the grace of God will do it. Well, our brother Ditch shares something about the grace, but if you read Titus chapter 2, the grace of God is given, not just, oh, yeah, okay, I need help, so help me. No, it says it is to teach us and to train us to deny the worldly lust and that we should live a holy life and godly life in this present age. This is what grace is for. For many of us Christians, grace is just given to us freely. Yeah, everybody likes to have free things, right? Don't you? It's free. Free, it's good. No, but grace of God there in Titus chapter 2 is to train you, to teach you and train you to live a holy and godly life, and to deny the worldly lust. That's what grace is for. Right. So, praise the Lord. Now we all realize the qualification of all this 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14. Right. So, is it easy or is it hard? Don't think that way. Right? If right from the very beginning you think, oh, being an architect is so difficult. I'm not going to school. I can't make it. It's so hard. Everybody says it's hard. So then you quit. Well, no. You are a human being. You're made with an intelligence. You can make it. And you need to be trained. It is to train you. Or would you prefer to be a bum? A beach bum? Right. That you don't need training. Yeah. So, but if you want to make it in the kingdom when the Lord comes back, you cannot just be the way you are and you're just, you know, surf into the kingdom. There's no such thing. No, you cannot surf into the kingdom. You need to be trained. Part of this 144,000, you need to be an overcomer. Right, the first fruits. Those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Read it for yourself and let it be written in your heart. So, may we all be encouraged. This word is not written to discourage you. No. Right. And this is why the Lord chose us before the foundation of the world. And then he came to redeem us. And then he regenerated us. He put his life within us in order that we can make it. There's no reason not to make it with such a wonderful life that is within you. A dog cannot make it, okay? Yeah. A fallen human being, not born again, is not redeemed, not saved, they cannot make it. Of course not. And they go to somewhere else, the lake of fire. But we Christians, born again, don't think, no, I'm born again, I'm there. No, you're not there. Just like Ivan and, Ivanka and Enoch. Oh, where are they? Yeah. Yes. Hey, the birth is just the very beginning. There's a lot more to do for the two children to grow up and to be a proper human being. Right. Takes a lot of work and training. So may the Lord train all of us to make it, to reach the goal. Just like Paul, he didn't just say, I'll take my time. No, he pursued. He pressed toward the mark. If he, being an apostle, able to write that epistle to the Philippians, he must be pretty good, huh? And yet he says, not that I have already attained or already perfected. He says, no, I'm not there yet, but I forget the things that are behind and I press toward the goal. It's an upward calling to gain the prize. To gain the prize. You want to gain the prize? Well, then run the race. Right. And he said, as many as are matured, let us have this same mind. But if you're not mature, you won't understand what it's all about. You think being born again, you sit there and you'll go to heaven. That's what you were taught. No. So may the Lord be merciful, not only to us, but to many of his people. Okay. Good. Amen.